Welcome, everyone. So glad you're here. Welcome online, at home, and here in the sanctuary. We're so glad that you're here. We are the hope of the world. Isn't that true? We carry that hope with us. That's great. Thank you, worship team, for just great worship today. Hey, I want you to know real quick that Pastor Jim is absent today, but he is on a church consultation and evaluation. This is something that he does with other churches in our region, and he really loves to do that. He's very gifted at it. He loves to help other church leaders and staff just kind of get stuff settled when there's issues and things like that. And so he's gone. He will be gone again over the next month doing this for our region in open Bible churches. What that means, you get to hear the whole circuit of pastors preach. Yeah, so Zach's coming up soon. I'll be preaching again, and we're just so excited. Before I get started today, let's check out a quick video clip and watch very closely, okay? Okay, wow, that was like the saddest video I've ever shown. I had to wait for most of the kids to leave. I think they would have cried at that. But I just want you to know, no baby ducks were hurt in the making of this video, okay? Just so you know. But you know what? That poor little mama duck, she teaches us a good lesson in life, right? There are plenty of pitfalls in the world. Isn't that true? Unfortunately, there is a sad truth, and that sad truth is that many people will fall into the pitfalls of life because they're on the wrong path in life, and they think they're just fine, and then poof, something happens. They lose something, and one of the greatest pitfalls for you to fall into is this: going on about our day, day after day, thinking that we are just fine without the Lord. But I don't want you to fall into that trap, okay? Don't fall into that trap. And that's why it's so important to be in God's Word. Amen? And that's why we're in 40 days in the Bible. And listen to Proverbs 22:5. It says this: in the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far from them. And what that means, another way that that's written in Scripture is, it would say guard their life. Those that guard their life stay far from them, in some other versions. And the idea here is that we have to stay on guard all the time. And there's not a better way to do that than to be in the Word of God, which promises to direct your path. The Word of God will direct your path to avoid these kind of things. So, you know, if you've been in the 40 days study with us, it's been awesome, but then you know what happens in Cana of Galilee. Who's in the 40 weeks, the 40 days study? Y'all remember Cana of Galilee and in our readings a number of days ago? And if you haven't been in the Word, then jump into the Word. You can jump in today. You can go to our website and click on the reading plan. You can download our app and get hooked up that way. But we want you to be in it, okay? It doesn't matter how far behind you are. You can jump in now and get in the Word. But Jesus is in Cana of Galilee. In Cana, this town, this is where Jesus performed his first miracle. Very first one. And so Jesus and his mother and his disciples are invited to a wedding. Remember the story? Now, it just so happens that I just performed a wedding just last weekend, and it was a Spanish wedding, right? I'd never been to one of these, right? There was a singing mariachi guy. And there was a taco tent. I mean, the works, man. It was awesome. It was fun. It was really fun. But you know what happened was they had a ton of people there that they weren't really expecting. And so, although we pulled it off, no joke, they ran out of tacos. Oh, no. This is like a huge deal, right? Well, they figured it out. They were awesome. They got it figured out. But I'm sure it was a bit like in Cana, where Jesus was, because a crazy thing happens when Jesus was there. An unplanned thing happens. The bride and groom run out of wine. They run out of wine at the wedding. Now, this is a really big deal, okay, because weddings in ancient Jewish culture, they would last for multiple days, like a whole week long, you know, all kinds of celebration. These feasts were actually planned years in advance because these marriages were arranged, and there was even contracts signed between families years in advance of these big celebrations. Right now, you and I, we've been to a lot of weddings in our days, and there's always something, maybe in your own wedding, there's always something that goes wrong somewhere in the planning process, but you know, we don't hold that against anybody. I remember at my wedding, it was August 20th. Good thing I remember that. August 20th. And it was supposed to be blazing hot, and it turned out to be the coldest night on record in August, yeah, up in Minnesota. And we had everyone sitting outside. So all of a sudden, we're just like out there pouring coffee because people are freezing cold and there was no room inside the building. All right, these things happen. But here in Cana, it would have been really embarrassing. Really embarrassing. Even disgraceful to shut down the party early and send everyone home, especially if they had had to travel a long distance to be at this wedding, which is what happened. And so this couple, this family would have been the talk of the town, which in this case would have meant they would have been branded with disgrace from here on out. So you don't want to do this in an ancient Jewish wedding, okay? So while the bride and groom and the parents are starting to get really nervous about what to do, we find Jesus right here in the midst of all the trouble. And I'm not quite sure where he is. He's somewhere at the wedding. He's maybe in the back storeroom, but he's back there, and he's performing a miracle. And he takes what they have at the wedding, just some purified water, which was for ritual hand washing, and he turns it into wine. And this wasn't some fabricated, you know, parlor trick or something. It wasn't some magic powder that he had that he poured into to all these jars. Because he made nearly 180 gallons of wine at that moment. And we know this was the real stuff because the servants at the wedding, they drew out some wine from the stone jars and they took it to the master of the banquet. And here's what it says in John 2, 9 and 10. It says, "And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He didn't realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside. He said, 'Hey, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best for now.'" And all of this was taking place with very few people actually knowing about it in the moment that it was happening. In fact, only the disciples who were there and Jesus' mom and a few servants knew what happened. And everybody else were just going about their lives. They were just partying. And they were just there because this was the path of life. And it took them to this wedding. And they didn't realize that Jesus was there with them changing things. They didn't know he was making a difference behind the scenes. And it wasn't just water being transformed. Jesus was giving us a sign here that pointed us to what he can do and was about to do for all of us. Completely transform our lives. And there's so much to this story, and I can't go through all of it, which I really want to. But today, I just want to bring out one point here from this story. This story is from the second chapter of John, but in the first chapter of John, John purposely draws our attention to creation. Okay, and it helps to lead our minds down the right path of thinking about who Jesus really is. And John says these words in John chapter 1, 1 through 3. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing. Nothing was made that has been made." So the Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was before anything was made. And the Word made everything. It's not a coincidence that this passage is structured just like Genesis 1, 1 through 3. It's a parallel passage. And Genesis 1, 1 through 3 also talks about the beginning. And here's what it says. In the beginning, God created. He created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Amen. John tells us here that the Word was present at creation. And then John tells us that the Word was not only there at creation, but he's here now. John 1:14, the Word who was there at creation became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace. The Word became flesh. Now, at this wedding in Cana, we see that same power of creation revealed. And that's what happened. And we learn this great truth. One of the many things that we learn from this wedding. But here's one of them, okay? The Word has transforming power. Transforming power. God's Word changes things. His Word is the catalyst for change in your life. And if you want that, then you need the catalyst for change in your life. This water wasn't doctored up water. It was transformed water, meaning it was one substance before, and now it's a completely new substance, something different. You know, I love reading the comments that you guys are leaving in the Bible study. They're so encouraging, and keep on doing that. But somebody wrote this comment in the study for this chapter. They said, they commented that Jesus was Scripture wrapped in flesh. That's really good. What does that mean? It means that he is the living Word. The Word is alive, embodied in Jesus Christ. And we need to be in the written Word because the written Word puts us in connection with the living Word. Amen? He is the Word in action, which means he himself is the catalyst for our transformation. and he's here. In these pages, he himself was here and transformed that water into a new substance. And I want you to be transformed like that into something completely new from what you used to be. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. So what does that mean for our lives? Just practically speaking. Okay, how does God's word change me? Number one, it changes my attitude. Here's Romans 15:4. Listen to this. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. It's like the song we sang today. Man, you keep hope alive in us. Scripture is for our encouragement and for our hope, right? And God's word, everything in Scripture, this tells us, is meant to encourage you. Well, you look, start going through Scripture, and there's some pretty crazy stuff in Scripture. That's true. But God's word always leaves us in the same place with fulfilled promises. You will see that over and over. And that lifts up my attitude. That lifts up my attitude because I realize that I can trust every word. I can trust them all. And here's what it also says in Hebrews 4:12. You probably heard this. This is a great scripture here. It says, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So not only does God's word give us hope, but it also challenges our attitudes through conviction. That's supposed to happen when we're in God's word. And what it does is when you get into this stuff, it cuts to the heart. And isn't that what we really want in the end? Isn't that what we want? Don't tell me lies. Just get to the truth. I want the truth, right? Jesus said that knowing the truth is what sets you free. And the truth is here, right? And he is the truth. And what else is he? He's the way, the truth, and the life. All of that found in him, the living word. And if you start to follow Jesus, if you start getting into the living word for long enough, you will see that he did everything he said. He did everything he said. And because of that, he's trustworthy. And so is the word. Second thing, how God's word changes me. It does this. It activates my faith. It activates me. Okay? Let me briefly share my personal testimony. Okay, I was part of it. I remember when I was 15, okay, I was in a church service and there were some things spoken over my life by a pastor. Basically, that day when I was 15 was the beginning of a call to ministry for me. But it seemed like at that time it seemed really lofty and I wasn't really sure about, you know, if I was even ready for that. I wasn't sure about it. And so I struggled with it. I wrestled with it. And it wasn't until a few years later when I was in another church service and another pastor shared a message on the story of Esther. And this has become my life verse. And I remember this all the time. But God challenged me to see that maybe he called me for such a time as this. That was the verse that struck my heart. It was Esther 4:14. You have to go read it sometime. And suddenly things changed in my life, and I understood this. I understood that there was an opportunity for me to act upon, and that even if I said no, or I didn't want to do it, okay, I could answer that way. But I understood that God would still accomplish his plans because he is trustworthy. And God was challenging me to step up. And you know what happened? God's word activated my faith. And now I'm in ministry. There's a lot in between those two statements that I don't have time for. But look, where do we get faith from when we need it? We get it from the word. Let's read Romans 10:17. It says this: consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes from this. You got to get into these pages because it's going to build your faith. All right, third point. Last point for this morning. How God's word changes me. It stimulates my growth. Now, if God's plan, if he plans, rather, on activating my faith, then he certainly plans on sustained spiritual growth in your life. And one of the best things that I've learned in my walk with the Lord in ministry is just this little phrase, okay? And it goes like this: if you know what you're called to do, you know what you're called to pursue. Okay? If you know what you're called to do, you know what you're called to pursue. We've got to pursue his word for our growth, especially if you're called by God to be a follower. If we know we're called to do that, then we got to pursue that. And how you pursue that is right here. You spend time with the Lord and you grow. One way this is written in Scripture is in 2 Timothy 3. And, you know, we've said this passage in the last couple weeks, but not only does it say that the Word is God-breathed, but it says it is useful. Useful for what? Useful for growth. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this: it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Boy, that's good stuff. And here's a good way of thinking about it, and I learned this from another pastor. Okay, teaching. Teaching is God showing me the path to walk on. Rebuking. Rebuking is God showing me how I got off the path. Correcting. Correcting is God showing me how to get back on the path. And training. Training is God showing me how to stay on the path. That's pretty good, right? God wants you on the path because it's going to be a safe place, protected place with him. You're going to grow there. You're not going to grow in other places as well as you're going to grow in the Word of God. And when we learn to travel on the right path, we learn what the pitfalls in life are. Okay? You don't have to be some helpless creature scared about falling down in a storm drain. All right? You don't have to live that way. Amen? All right. I want to invite the worship team, wherever you are, start heading this way. And I've got just a couple more things to say as they get ready. One is this. From Colossians chapter 1, 28 and 29. Here's what it says. It says, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. And I love the end of that verse, right? Christ is powerfully at work in me. And there are a few things we can do for this powerful transformation to start happening. You've heard Romans 12:2. It says this: stop conforming to the pattern of the world. Stop going that direction. Stop walking down that path. Don't conform any longer to that, but what? Instead, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. You see, God wants you to be transformed. You were one way. Now, you're a completely different way. And what is the catalyst for that? The Word of God. All right? This is what we need to do. Very short and simple. Learn God's Word. Trust God's Word and activate God's Word, which just means start doing it. Start to do it. And you know what? If you're not a part of our Bible study right now because you've missed it and you're like now 14 days behind, who cares? Jump in. Jump in now. John 13:17 says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed. If you do them, you're going to be blessed, all right? Just another minute, guys. I'm up just a little bit more. And then you guys are ready, all right? Listen, last thing I want to share, okay? There's a place in Scripture, and I read this last week, where Solomon, King Solomon, right, David's son, wisest man who ever lived, right? He's just finished building the temple in Jerusalem. And now he's dedicating it to the Lord in prayer. And here are all these people, and they're watching, and they're listening. And it's so weird. It's like right in the middle of the prayer, it seems like he just sort of stops and kind of has this thought. And it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, 18. And listen to what the thought is. He says, but will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? Will God really do that? But here Jesus is, the Word in the flesh, a guest at someone's wedding, doing the work of transformation. And what I want to tell you this morning, church, is that if you're not in God's Word, then you're not tapping into the catalyst for transformation in your life. Amen? Amen.